Ayakalpate. Translation of the verse. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Purport. This verse is a reply to Arjuna's third question. What is the means of attaining to the transcendental position? As explained before, the material world is acting under the spell of the modes of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the activities of the modes of nature. Instead of putting his consciousness into such activities, he may transfer his consciousness to Krishna activities. Krishna activities are known as bhakti yoga, always acting for Krishna. This includes not only Krishna, but his different plenary expansions, such as Rama and Narayana. He has innumerable expansions. One who is engaged in the service of any of the forms of Krishna or of his plenary expansions is considered to be transcendentally situated. One should also note that all the forms of Krishna are fully transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge, and eternal. Such personalities of Godhead are omnipotent and omniscient, and they possess all transcendental qualities. So, if one engages himself in the service of Krishna or his plenary expansions with unfailing determination, although these modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome, one can overcome them very easily. This has already been explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto Krishna at once surmounts the influence of the modes of material nature. To be in Krishna consciousness or in devotional service means to acquire equality with Krishna. The Lord says that his nature is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge, and the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme, as gold particles are part of a gold mine. Thus, the living entity, in his spiritual position, is as good as gold, as good as Krishna in quality. The difference of individuality continues, otherwise there would be no question of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means that the Lord is there, that the devotee is there, and the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. Therefore, the individuality of two persons is present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the individual person, otherwise there would be no meaning to bhakti yoga. If one is not situated in the same transcendental position with the Lord, one cannot serve the Supreme Lord. To be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus, the qualification is to become Brahman, or freed from all material contamination. It is said in the Vedic literature, Brahmaiva san brahmapyeti. One can attain the Supreme Brahman by becoming Brahman. This means that one must qualitatively become one with Brahman. By attainment of Brahman, one does not lose his eternal Brahman identity as an individual soul. Mang chayovya bicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Yesterday, I compared the spiritual situation in the spiritual world, in the abode of the Supreme Lord, to be precise, to Rajaguna. Compared means that this mature world is a perverse reflection of the spiritual world. It's impelled by ignorance of one's constitutional position of the Supreme Lord, but the activities of the world by which the world goes on, gacchati iti jagat, with that which goes, that which moves, is called the jagat, the world, the material world, or any world. So that activity is impelled primarily by Rajoguna. And particularly the search for sense gratification is indicative or characteristic of Rajoguna. And the spiritual world is also full of happy activities, dancing, singing, having family, friends, joking, laughing, dressing nicely. These are the activities of the spiritual world. Sugita Naratane Shabha Shakigane Tushiche Jugala Dhane. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that by singing very nicely and dancing, all the friends, gopi friends of Radha, they satisfy Radha and Krishna. So it's a place of great enjoyment in this material world. The endeavor is also there for enjoyment, but it ends in misery. And depression, wanting to kill oneself or others or give pain to others, these are symptoms of tamoguna. The tamoguna of, although the tamoguna of depression is a perverse reflection of the highest level of bliss, of feeling of separation from Krishna. And the tamoguna of wanting to cause pain to others is a perverse reflection of Raja Bhakti, in which one wants to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. But the aspect of tamoguna, the laziness, that is that's not present in the spiritual world. Of course, there's also times when Krishna may simply stretch out and relax, and his cowherd boyfriends will come and massage him. But basically, Krishna is a very active person, very active in giving pleasure to his devotees as they also give pleasure to him. Now, tamaguna is ignorance. Sattva-gun, sattva means existence. It is the condition of our existence. So in sattva-gun we come close to our position of actual existence. Our actual existence is spiritual. Rajagun is further away, and tamagun is further away. But our real existence is spiritual. But in sattva-guna, becoming peaceful, meditating, becoming detached from the world, unless this matures into Krishna consciousness, then the tendency will be to come back to ignorance, because the whole position of this material world is one of ignorance, deliberately ignoring Krishna. Krishna bhuli, sejivanadi bahimuk, forgetting Krishna, volitionally forgetting Krishna. So, although one may have a position of detachment from this world, unless one becomes attached to Krishna, then he becomes again degraded, or he never really escapes from his degraded position. The detached person will look at the devotees singing and dancing and think, oh, a bunch of stupid fools. That's exactly what Prakashananda Saraswati thought of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That you're supposed to be a sannyasi, but you're jumping around in the streets and dancing with these, singing loudly, making a big loud noise with all these low-class people. So he looked down at that, and by that offense he was due to fall down, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved him from that. But this smugness of thinking that I'm better than others, and then one thinks one's God, and then one's detachment in sattva-gun, that it comes round in a cycle, that one is in rajagun trying to enjoy, then one becomes frustrated and withdraws from that, and then his detachment turns into the detachment of tamaguna, which is just some detachment from activities. Both the person in sattva-gun is non-ambitious for material enjoyment, having seen the uselessness of it. And the person in tamaguna is also detached from endeavors for sense gratification because he's just too lazy to try to do anything. Sattva-gun, that one's actually in the danger of falling into tamaguna. And in rajaguna, one's also in danger because the quest for sense gratification means that one has to exploit others. That tendency is always there. The person in rajaguna, if he's guided by dharma, he can be restrained from that. Otherwise, the tendency is to take advantage, and then by exploiting others, then his envy increases and he falls down more and more and more. Now, here in this verse, Mangchayo Vibhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samati Dhyaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Krishna states that one can immediately come to the transcendental position by one engaging in his devotional service. Someone who engages in Krishna's service, whatever position they may have been in before, they come to the spiritual platform. So we may think then, well, then sattva-gun's not all that important. We can just, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can just engage in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that also, that whatever you're doing, don't have to change anything, just add Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, sthane stitash, remain in your position and go on hearing about Krishna. But although that advice may be suitable for to induce people to take to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, some changes are going to be required in everyone's life if they're going to take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. For instance, if someone is a butcher by profession, we can tell him, yeah, you just chant Hare Krishna. But after some time, if they're going to go forward in Krishna consciousness, then clearly they're going to have to stop being a butcher. We don't get that many butchers coming to Krishna consciousness, although I know of the case of one of my godbrothers. He was a... So we may think that, well, if the pervert, if tamaguna, this feeling depression, if that's a perverted reflection of the Vrajavasi's feelings of separation from Krishna, then maybe it's good to be in tamaguna and just add Krishna. Or it's good to be in rajaguna and be very active and just add Krishna, and then you don't have to go through all this sattva-guna of regulating your life and taking vows, rising early in the morning. You just be in rajaguna and take to Krishna consciousness, transfer that to Krishna, and there you are. You're immediately in the spiritual position. We may think like that. There's even sometimes as advocated that unless you know what is the conjugal feelings, then how can you appreciate Krishna's conjugal feelings? So if you really want to enter into understanding of appreciation of Krishna's activities with the gopis, then you better find some gopis of your own to practice with. And then you can appreciate what feelings there are. And then you understand, oh, Krishna also feels like this. Okay, that's bhakti. This is a very dangerous outlook, as you can understand. That if we think that my materially attached, sinful attempts to enjoy and exploit this material world, they're on the same level as Krishna's completely pure, non-exploitive attitude in relationship to his devotees, well, that is a gross illusion. That is the illusion that puts us in the material world. There's the well-known verse from Brahma Sanghita, Yam Krodha Kama Sahaja Pranayadi Bhiti Vatsalya Moha Guru Gaurava Savya Bhavai Santincha Tasya Sadrishang Tanamapurete Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. There's also a similar verse in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, the purport of which is that by thinking of Krishna with karma, desire, anger, natural feelings of loving affection, sahaja pranaya, fear, parental feelings, even illusion, being an illusion, but thinking of Krishna, feelings of respectful service of him, these various feelings. So someone who is completely absorbed in such things, he attains a suitable form. Santinjatasya sadrisham tanamapra. He attains a suitable form for pursuing that kind of thought in relationship with Krishna. In other words, if one desires Krishna, if one has a very strong desire for Krishna, then he will attain a suitable form for pursuing that desire. And an example is the rishis in Dandakaranya, who in their purified state, upon seeing the beautiful form of Lord Rama, they desired to serve him in the role that a female would serve a very beautiful, powerful, and majestic male. Although not any king, but particularly this Rama. Their feeling was particularly for Rama. So they attained by that attraction, that strong desire to serve Rama, being attracted by his beauty, his majesty, his power. The Rama, the natural form of attraction for all feminine feelings. Feminine attraction is toward a male who is very exquisitely good looking, noble in character, majestic, powerful. So these are all the qualities that attract female devotion, and they desired to appreciate, to take a suitable form for appreciating him more and more, and so they were awarded the form of gopis in Krishna's appearance, when Rama appeared later as Krishna. Krodha, if one is angry at Krishna, back to karma, so it's also described that the gopis, they had feelings of attraction for Krishna, which are just like that of a young girl for a young boy. But there is a very great difference, because the object is Krishna. And Krishna is the eternal person, the person who can eternally and fully, unfailingly reciprocate such feelings. Whereas if a young girl puts her faith in a young boy, or her attraction is toward him, she may feel that, this is it, this is eternal love, but it won't be eternal. It cannot be. Also, it's to be understood that the gopis, their attraction for Krishna, although it may appear to be mundane, it's not mundane. They're on the highest platform of transcendence. And their attraction for Krishna comes from a completely pure heart, whereas the perverse reflection of that in the material world, the desire of a young girl for a young boy or vice versa, that is the result of an impure heart. And therefore, persons in sattva-gun, seeing that the attraction between male and female is the cause of bondage in this material world. Pungsastriya mithuni bhavametam tayoraho hridaya grantimahuhu. They become detached from that. They attempt to detach their consciousness from any such feelings of male being attracted to female or vice versa. The rishis in Dandakaranya had gone to meditate in the forest to get away from all material desire, but when they saw Ram, they all unabashedly, they didn't try to hide it from each other, expressed their appreciation for Lord Rama. It may seem a very unusual thing that they're males and they're expressing a desire to serve him in that female form. But that point is there, that they were completely liberated from material existence, and therefore their feelings for Lord Rama could arise on the completely in the completely pure state. That's also stated about Shukdev Goswami when Shonaka Rishi expressed surprise that how is it that Shukdev from his very birth, or even from before his birth, was already liberated. Then why did he take the trouble to study such a vast literature as the Srimad Bhagavatam? What was the point? He's already made it. He's already spiritually situated. Then why did he come back to the world of interaction with others and study some text? And the answer is given. Atma ramascha munayo nigranta apyarukrume kurvantya haitukin bhaktin itam bhuta gano harehe. That Krishna is so attractive on the spiritual platform that he attracts even those persons who have no attraction on the material platform, who are fully satisfied in themselves in spiritual consciousness. And because the Bhagavatam, the topic is Krishna, therefore Shukdev and any other highly advanced spiritualists, they can be attracted to Krishna, unless they have still deep within the core of their heart the seed of envy, which is why impersonalists, although they may, by cultivation of sattva-gun, come to these, what we may call the semi-transcendental platform, they have to fall down again because of anadar, of non-respect, non-worship, Yushmad, what is that? Patantyato anadrita yushmadangra. Your, Brahma says to Krishna, because of their non-respect of Krishna's lotus feet, they have to fall down again. So we should be yankroda kama sahaja praniya, the natural loving feelings. People may have some natural loving feelings towards Krishna that may be sentimental, just like if there is some drama about Krishna, and people, they may be very appreciative of that if they're devotionally inclined. They may not be cultivating pure devotion, but if they have that enough piety to be attracted to Krishna, then they will very much appreciate that. In Sura, there was some drama in that Maheshri Bhavan. Which one was that? Was that Bilva Manga? Which one? Sakshi Gopal? Dhruv Maharaj drama, yeah. You may say ordinary people, because they're not ordinary, but because they like Krishna. But they're mostly business community people. So in that drama, when Dhruv Maharaj doing his austerities, then Narayan appeared, and there was a wave of, they were so very happy that he had appeared. And it was spontaneous and natural. Sahaja pranaya, natural loving feeling. It's not full and complete and perfect, because that natural feeling is there, that can be developed into pure devotion. That krodha anger at the Lord, that does not mature into pure devotion. That is not favorable. But one can at least come to be killed by the Lord and then attain Sayuja Mukti, as in the case we see in Krishna's pastime, so many, the Kamsa, Agha, Sishupal, they merge into the existence of the Lord. So Vatsalya, there are so many devotees who treat Krishna, Gopal, the deity, as their own child. They cultivate that feeling. So in various ways, one can become purified by directing one's material feelings toward Krishna. But we have to be very careful and not think that, well, whatever my material feelings are, I'll direct them toward Krishna, and that's bhakti complete and perfect. We have to be very careful of that. There's the example also of the karma, the lusty feelings of Kubja, described in Bhagavatam as Trivakra. She has a hunchback body. So she also had lusty feelings for Krishna, but her feelings were not like those of the gopis of Vrindavan, or even for that matter, the women of Mathura, who are described as praising the gopis of Vrindavan. They also had pure devotion for Krishna. But she's also a woman of Mathura, but not one of the ones who offer prayers that are described in Bhagavatam. So she was attracted to Krishna, seeing him as an ordinary boy, as the gopis also did. But her attraction was a mundane, carnal attraction. And she became purified from that by her attraction to Krishna. But she didn't. She's a long, long way from the platform of the gopis. So pure devotional service to Krishna means there's no mundane desire. By dovetailing one's mundane attitudes in Krishna's service, one can be purified, but ultimately pure devotion, there must also be vairagya and vidya, detachment from this world and knowledge. Of course, on the very highest platform, there is not knowledge of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in this material world, as we desire or as we want to come out of this material world and go to Krishna, we also require to become detached from this world and know who is Krishna, who are we, what is our relationship, how to practice devotional service. Vairagya and Vidya are to be cultivated within devotional service. These are typical of sattva-guna. The meditator in sattva-guna, he cultivates detachment from this world, knowledge of the nature of this world. In devotional service, vairagya and vidya, they are subordinate to and concomitant with devotional service, but they cannot be neglected. If there is not renunciation or detachment and knowledge, then if one simply takes to Krishna consciousness thinking, well, I'm dovetailing, I have this propensity, I just dovetail it. But it becomes very unlikely that one is going to separate one's desires for Krishna from mundane desires. So one may, just like it's often said, well, we can preach by, for instance, having some rock music. And let's have a Hare Krishna concert with rock music. And many people will come and there'll be a treasure. So we may do that. But when the rock music stops and we want to talk about Krishna, then we may find people are not very interested because they came for the rock music and not for Krishna. I'm not saying that this can't be used as a method of attracting people, but I'm just pointing out here that the mixing of Krishna consciousness with personal desire, unless there is a specific program to become purified from those material desires, then it's quite likely that we may go on even lifetime after lifetime and not actually come to the state of pure devotional service. If one is engaged in unfailing, unflinching, intense, tivra devotional service, even for the pursuit of a material desire, as in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, under the guidance of a pure devotee, worshipping Krishna with a material desire, but the concentration was fully on Krishna, was very powerfully on Krishna, and of course the influence of the holy place Mahavan within the forest, the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So in this way, he became purified. But if we take Krishna consciousness as just something to satisfy my sense gratification, then when we find something which we find more immediately fulfilling to our sense gratification, then we're likely to drop the so-called Krishna consciousness. Cultivation of feelings for Krishna without cultivation of knowledge of Krishna and detachment from this world, it's likely to be sentimental, and it's definitely better than the not worshipping Krishna in any other way, but without the desire to actually take up Krishna consciousness very seriously, it's likely to degrade, because there's no clear distinction between what is mundane and spiritual. In fact, you never really advance very much. Difference between material and spiritual. Material means I'm acting for my own sense gratification, and spiritual means I'm acting for Krishna's sense gratification. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam krishnendriya priti vancha dhare prema nam. Everyone should know this. Generally we learn Gita verses first, but practically this is the first verse we should dwell. Maybe we should learn first of all, we're not the body. And then real spiritual life begins on this platform, understanding that the material platform is that of desire for one's own personal sense gratification. And spiritual platform of love, pure love for Krishna, is the desire simply to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses. So this has to be understood. How will we understand this? Well, we have to associate with devotees. One can do that, even if one is taking to Krishna consciousness in a very light way. Just like we may ask people to come to the mantra rock dance. It's not really Krishna consciousness, but there's some touch. The idea is some touch of Krishna consciousness. It's not very likely to give rise to the desire to seriously take up Krishna consciousness. So sattva guna, we may say, well, we can just take to Krishna consciousness from any platform, but sattva guna begins with the platform of thoughtfulness, introspection, atato brahma jignasa, whereas rajaguna is the platform of what's in it for me, and tamaguna is the platform of just animal platform, not thinking or endeavoring. We can engage in Krishna consciousness at any level. We can start. Anyone can take prasadam, for instance, and be benefited. But real devotional service begins with the commitment to surrender to Krishna. That is the real meaning of initiation. The real meaning of initiation is not so much, although that is necessary, the vow to chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regulated principles. But the essence is the determination to serve Krishna, understanding Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ourselves to be His eternal servant. That is the essence, that commitment to do so. So we can engage in Krishna consciousness at any level. And In this world, people are mostly very active in Rajaguna, always busy looking for sense gratification. And on that busy platform, we can be engaged in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's very dear disciple, Jayananda Prabhu, was famously expert in engaging all kinds of most difficult, unusual, unlikely persons in building rath carts. He would just bring them off the street, and people who lived on the street, and he'd get them busy, and all the devotees who no one wanted to be with, no one, the temple presidents would have a nightmare just thinking of them. They're non-cooperative and always making excuses and fault finding this, that. But Jayananda would take them and he would fill them up with prasadam and get them working day and night on the rath cart. So anyone can be engaged in devotional service at any level, and particularly in Rajaguna, that tendency to work. Okay, let's engage it in Krishna service. We have Rath Yatra, people come, they pull the cart, it's something they get involved in, they can do it, and it feels, it's fun for them, they like it. And so they can get involved, and they can go directly from the platform of Rajaguna to devotional service at some level. And there will be benefit, definitely. Everyone who takes the devotional service at some level, they will be benefited. But to take to Krishna consciousness seriously, that is another matter. Jagannath Das Babaji, some men came to him to live with him as a Babaji. And they expected that just as he's chanting Hare Krishna day and night, he will engage them in chanting Hare Krishna day and night. But instead, he engaged them all day in working in the garden in Navadvip Dham, growing some vegetables and flowers for offering to the deity. And they were wondering, well, what's this? We left home to take up spiritual life, and now we're just being engaged in this low, this is what low caste people do, is work in the gardens. And they were, they said, Jagannath said, you just work, you do some service to the Dham. Later we'll see if you're qualified to chant the holy name. You do this first. You engage at this level. Because at least we can understand from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his description of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Many people would come and think they're already on this spiritual platform and they're ready just to sit and chant all day. But they're not enough they're not developed peacefully enough in their mind that they can do so. And so their attempts to do so would, it seems, almost inevitably engage in come to fall down. That they'd be chanting, and in their mind they'd be thinking of sense gratification. So Jagannath Das Babaji, his answer to that was, okay, you want to come? All right. So serve the Dham, do some gardening. Later we'll see about chanting. This prior even to chanting, we think that chanting is the beginning. Yeah, but when to actually chant, one has to be qualified for that. So, rajogun, activity, that can be engaged in Krishna's service, but to come to the full platform, it's not just enough to engage one's rajoguna. One has to actually transcend that. Tamagun is not very favorable for taking to devotional service. And Rajagun also, one can take to devotional service, very active, doing this, doing that. And someone may think, oh, he's a very dedicated devotee, but actually it's largely that they're channeling their active nature. It may not be that they're actually fully surrendered to Krishna, so they're channeling their active, they have to work hard by their very nature, and they may be, unless that becomes purified so that they understand that we're supposed to do this all for Krishna, then they're doing it to boost their ego, to boost their bank balance, their own personal bank balance. I'm working so hard for Krishna, and Krishna loves his devotees, So this person just gave me a lag donation. So I think Krishna would like me to keep 95,000 rupees of it, and 5,000 rupees we can give for Krishna's service, because I'm also Krishna's devotee. That kind of thought may come. If one is not purified by regulated devotional service, hearing and chanting, rising early, all these things. And the Bhagavatam, which is the literature par excellence, the topmost literature on bhakti, discussing the three modes of nature, says, Sattvam yad brahma darshanam. What's the line before that? Tamasas tu rajas tasmat. Rajagun is better than tamaguna, but Sattvam yad brahma darshanam. One can directly see and experience and enter into the spiritual platform from the platform of sattvagun, not from rajogun. Now, then yesterday that question was about the how sattvagun that tends towards impersonalism, but it is the beginning of the spiritual platform. So what's its relationship with Krishna consciousness? If Krishna consciousness means full surrender to Krishna, and sattvagun is some detachment, introspection, well, for the impersonalists and for the devotees, there are some characteristics in common. Like the impersonalists, the devotees, they also have to cultivate non-cultivation of personal desire. So that is very favorable for devotional service. The person in sattvagun, he cultivates not being desirous of anything. There's lots of discussion about this in Bhagavad Gita. This samalosh, ashra, kanchana, that one sees some pebble and gold as being the same. In other words, he has no particular attraction toward the gold any more than the pebble, and he has no aversion to either also. Because he sees that this world is not meant for my enjoyment. So that's required, that is cultivated in sattvagun, and that is very favorable for advancement in devotional service also. One may be practicing Krishna consciousness, channeling one's material active nature, that one wants to do something and show people that I'm doing something. But that's still on the personal platform. If one channels that, but consciously thinks, I'm doing this for Krishna's pleasure and not for myself, which is a sattvic way of thinking, not a rajasic way of thinking, that this is not for me, then one can actually come to the platform of devotional service. The yajñas are mostly performed for material desires in the Vedic culture, karma kandiya yajñas. But the offering into the fire, idam narayanaya namama, this is for Narayana, or it may be the name of some demigod, not for me. So this consciousness is to be cultivated, sattvic consciousness. In sattvagun, one cultivates no personal desire, cultivating detachment from this world, leading a regulated life, rising early, being clean. This is all helpful for development in devotional service. So it's not that if we think that, well, in the spiritual world there's lots of activity and lots of enjoyment, so in the material world there is also, so let's just go on in this material world being very active and enjoying ourselves and add Krishna, and that will just take us from here to there. There's more to it than that. It's not that one can simply think how we can live happily in this world and worship Krishna also. That is maybe a beginning. The materialistic devotee may think like that. And mostly people are materialistic. We're building a big temple here, and people will come and they'll pray to the God for whatever they want. Give me money, relief from distress, and so on. But because they come to Krishna, that will be more conducive for them than if they come to Murugan or Shiva or Parvati. Because they come to Krishna, that will be conducive for them. And this temple is actually meant for Srila Prabhupada's temples are meant not just so that people come and look and make some prayers and give a donation, but that they should hear something about Krishna and understand the necessity of actually surrendering to Krishna. So, the sattva gun without that also, that one may be very active in Krishna's service, but the mind will be pulled here and there all over the place, whereas in sattva gun the mind becomes steady because it's fixed. Ekeha kurunanda is samadhi. The mind is fixed on one purpose. Even though one is active in devotional service, not sitting peacefully and not making much endeavor as in sattva gun, but the mind is fixed. Even though one is very active, it's not like the activity of the active fool of the material world who runs here and there doing so many things, but his mind is just all over the place. But a devotee's mind is fixed, that we have to go on serving Krishna, even though he may be very busy. So it's not that a devotee is in Rajaguna. It might appear that Srila Prabhupada was in Rajaguna. He came to America, started a big movement, pushed all his followers to work very hard. He himself worked very hard. These all appear to be symptoms of Rajaguna. But because he did it all wholly and solely for Krishna, it's to be understood as being a manifestation of the highest level of pure love for Krishna, that he wanted to use every breath, every ounce of energy, every moment for serving Krishna in the fullest possible way, and wanted others to do so also. So unless one cultivates sattva gun, then the mind will be pulled here and there, and then one cannot actually progress in devotional service. Therefore, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravinda Yoho is described of Ambarish Maharaj. He engaged in many activities in Krishna's service, but first of all, he placed his mind, he was very clear why he was doing so. So, without devotion, with devotion, Rajaguna, with some touch of bhakti, that's better than cultivating sattva guna without devotion. That may seem unlikely, but yes, anyone who engages in devotional service, even from a platform of not much understanding, but somehow engaging in devotional service, is better situated. A neophyte devotee in Krishna consciousness is better situated than someone who's very sattvic and detached, but they have no sense of devotion to Krishna. That quote from 10th chapter, verse 2, Srila Prabhupada, I mentioned it yesterday, here is the quote. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The conception of God as some ruling power or as the impersonal Brahman can be reached by persons who are in the inferior energy of the Lord, but the personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is in the transcendental position." So even in sattva guna, if one has some impersonal conception of the of Brahman, of the highest reality, that's a mundane, that comes from mundane consciousness. That's not fully pure and spiritual consciousness. So what is the point? The point is that sattva guna is not the point. It's not our aim to be in sattva guna. Our aim is to be in pure devotional service. One can take, by the mercy of devotees, one can take to devotional service at any stage, at whatever position one may be in. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that mang hi parthavya parshucha yepi syuf papa yonaya striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti parangatim. Krishna, speaking the high spiritual knowledge on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjuna, told Arjuna that even persons of sinful birth, women, vaishyas, shudras, merchants, and workers, they can also achieve this supreme destination if they take shelter in me, which seems unlikely because they're born in the lower modes of nature. But one can transcend the lower modes of nature by devotional service. And artho pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje. One can directly get free of all the ongoing reactions that manifest in one's as one's body and in one's mind, plus those that are to come. Kutam bijam phalon mukham. The different stages of pap, they can all be overcome. What is that? Vishnu bhakti ratatmana kramaneva praliyate. They're all gradually destroyed by someone who's attached to Vishnu bhakti. So we can cross the modes by bhakti, but it rarely happens overnight. Kramaneva praliyate. Krama means there's a gradual development. Krama means step. It's like we have the name Trivikram or Urukram. Trivikram means he took three great steps. Urukram, big steps, names of Vamanadev. So therefore this coming or steadying oneself in devotional service, one's activities in devotional service by sadhana is required. Sattva-guna, the sadhana requires sattva-guna, that the steady commitment to daily apply oneself in activities which steady the mind, and in devotional service that means steady the mind to help fix that on Krishna. So sattva-guna, the impersonalist, that tendency without Krishna consciousness, that tendency is to come to impersonalism. But the difference in devotional service, sattva-guna, is the tendency to hear about Krishna, tendency to hear and understand. Someone who's in sattva, who's got some admixture of sattva-guna in their life, they can sit and hear about Krishna. And in this way, the hearing process is very powerful. This Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Haridanta Stohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. This, by hearing, Krishna becomes very pleased, and he awards to the person, the pious person, who hears about Krishna. To hear about Krishna and praise Krishna is in itself pious. Then the dirty things in the heart, they become cleansed. So this ability to hear, this is possible. That is a sattvic tendency, that one can actually sit and not fall asleep, and then one can apply one's mind to understand this subject matter. And by hearing these topics, one will be able to understand who I am. You'll be able to differentiate between spirit and matter. To understand by hearing these subject matters, we'll be able to understand what is actually spiritual, what is material. Simply to be in sattva-guna is not the highest stage. Now, all these topics are to be heard, and that will purify the heart. And then in one's activities in devotional service, one can always remember, I'm doing this for Krishna. And seeing the temptations of Maya will understand, this is Maya, I should not be attracted like this. Or within one's heart comes the possibility to become derailed or diverted, that now I'm doing devotional service, and people are appreciating, they're praising me, so let me enjoy this. But by hearing, one should know that I'm not meant for any enjoyment whatsoever. Not for personal enjoyment, I'm meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And then Krishna will, even if we think, what's my real best interest, self-interest, if we think, let me submit myself fully as a servant of Krishna, and then Krishna may make me happy or unhappy. And one who thinks like that will always be happy, even if apparently distressed. But what all these points can be understood by regular and patient hearing. So, sattva-gun, that we're enjoined to cultivate that, but not thinking that, well, to be sattvic is all in all, I have to be very clean and peaceful, brahmana, and meanwhile there's all garbage thrown all around the temple, but I'm a brahmana, I have to keep clean, I can't pick up the garbage. Let someone else do that who's not as elevated as me. But one who's actually clean in heart, he will, he's prepared to do anything for Krishna. A devotee doesn't think, well, I'm a brahmana, so I'm above everyone, but he's prepared to do anything and everything in Krishna's service. And that is the meaning of pure devotion, which transcends the situation within the modes of material nature. So, Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Yeah.
As a devotee who works very hard and is dedicated, comes really into service, but it seems like from reactions and from attitudes that is underlining all the time there is some expectation to be recognized or glorified.
Yeah.
The person can't see that. He himself is not aware. And when, yeah. Even when you tell him, the reaction is, no.
It's observable that there are devotees who work very hard, and in their own mind it's all devotion, but it seems quite observable to others that they're themselves very interested in being glorified or living comfortably or whatever. But they can't see it, and even if you tell them, they can't see it. It means they never heard properly. As I see it, in the very beginning of devotional service in this lifetime, if one gets the right guidance, then one's conception of Krishna consciousness will be formed. But even some people come and they get good guidance, but still, why they don't understand, they never actually heard. Someone may appear to be very humble, but actually in their heart there may be a lot of egoism. And it may appear that they're a very pure devotee, but actually they're not really dedicated to Krishna. An example of that is given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of the Ramadas, his actual name is not given, who was going from Varanasi to Puri, and he left at the same time that Raghunath Bhatta left. So there, he was accompanying Raghunath Bhatta. They were both going to Puri, by walking, of course. And this Ramada, he was always chanting the name of Rama. And he served Raghunath Bhatta. He carried his luggage and he served him in every way. And Raghunath Bhatta said, no, you don't have to do it. He said, no, I'm your servant. You're a Brahmin. I have to serve you. And he served him like this very nicely all the way to Puri. Then Raghunath Bhatta came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came to Puri, and he introduced his this Ramadas. He's always chanting the name of Ram. He's always serving devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hardly looked at him, didn't give him any special attention, because he knew that in his heart he was actually an impersonalist. He never actually heard. He never actually surrendered. He had all the appearances of being surrendered to Krishna, but he wasn't, or Rama in this case, but it was not the real thing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu detected that, and therefore he didn't care for him at all. Very difficult what to do. Jiva Goswami refers to certain type of devotee who is cultivating other kinds of desires while going on with the practice externally of devotional service. he refers to them as achikitsya, which means untreatable. Chikitsa means medicine, medical treatment, and achikitsya means incorrigible. Untreatable, yeah. Nothing you can do. It's janiya shunya bisha kaino. This Narottam Das uses that term about himself, but of course he's the greatest devotee, that knowingly, willingly, I'm drinking poison. What do you do for such people? Well, keep them engaged. It's very difficult. Keep them engaged. But then when they become preachers, then they become senior and others serve them and they give their idea. Then problems come. And then they take the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and misapply it in a manner that, unless someone's very expert in understanding Siddhanta, they won't understand. If someone's making some grave infringement against the principles of devotional service, and they say, no, you shouldn't criticize. Don't criticize a Vaishnava. Or you have to see all the good service they're doing. In the meantime, for instance, there might be an instance of a sannyasi who travels everywhere with a beautiful young woman. And then we couldn't imagine such a thing happening. Could we imagine? When you joined the movement, could you have imagined such a thing? But it happens, someone points it out, and the person who points it out says, no, you have to see the good service performed. Don't see the externals. You don't know what's in his heart. And so, for one who understands the Siddhanta, then this is not a satisfactory reply. There's something seriously wrong there. The sannyas, one accepts sannyas to show the example of Vairagya Vidya to others, particularly by non-association with women. So that will... Then it becomes Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantaki Hara Bhaktir Utpati Aiva Kalpate, because not following the Shastra, it's supposed to be devotional service, but it's simply a disturbance, because people they get misled. Some people will be misled and others will just go away in disgust and say, what is this, your Hare Krishna boy? Your Prabhupada taught you like this? What kind of teacher was he? It becomes the blame goes to Prabhupada. We should always think that. If we have any regard for Srila Prabhupada, we should consider that everything we do, especially in public, people are seeing and it reflects on Prabhupada. They'll think, oh, he couldn't train his disciples properly. He didn't know how to train them properly. They may think like that. People may think like that. Anything else? Yes, please.
Sometimes devotees think that a book distribution is a Vaishya mentality. That is a Vaishya service.
Book distribution is a Vaishya service. Someone may think like that. Well, it may be, someone may be dovetailing that propensity. They're good at selling things. But the ability to go on doing it year after year in all difficult circumstances, that is clearly on the spiritual platform. One is doing it as service to Krishna to uplift the conditioned souls. So in the beginning, it may be that one has that propensity, that one is good at selling things. Narayana, I heard from your mother that you like to sell things. We can engage you in book distribution. Already he's doing that. But that can become purified if one goes on hearing and understanding and taking the mercy that comes from Krishna by doing so. Instead of taking the mercy Krishna's mercy in the form of being praised by others. Oh, what a great book distributor. If you try to understand why I'm actually doing this, then one can get Krishna's mercy in the best possible way. In one conversation, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that actually. He said, Vaishyas, they can do business, book distribution. So at one level, it can be dovetailing one's in propensities, but there's the fully spiritual level where one does so simply to please Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna! Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai! His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! Hare Krishna!